Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, vegan and veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hello, chums, and welcome to the Triforce, the podcast. How are you guys doing today, Sips and Lewis?
Hi, chum. I'm good. I'm really good,
mate.
Thanks.
Yeah. Hi, pal.
Hi.
How are you feeling?
Pretty good, friendo.
Friendo. Yeah. Nice. So,
buddy.
You know, we talked a little bit last week about everybody loves Raymond and how nobody actually loves Raymond or his show.
Right.
And we talked about Frasier.
Yeah.
I watched, so every morning, okay, in my house, this is how it works, okay? I wake up, I take my son to school, I have to walk him to school, okay? I take him, and sometimes we have to pick,
it's like
5 minute walk, it's
okay,
like really close.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to pick up his friend along the way as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm imagining this, you basically,
his friend's mom has
along.
Three kids, and one of them is always sick, so we always end up having to like pick up the friend as well on the way.
Yeah.
And it's
so
cool.
It's like a quarantine zone, you're going around it. You're just happy skipping, it's all sunny and lovely, there's happy music playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got
his lunchbox in one hand. It's stressful because kids are constantly on the brink of killing themselves, so you're constantly like, get on the sidewalk, stay on the sidewalk, don't get off the sidewalk, and like hold hands, everybody hold each other's hands, it will be fine. So by the time you get to the school, you're sweating and you're like really stressed out and stuff, but it's all right, it's cool.
You're ruining this utopian vision I have.
No, there's no skipping. Anyway, you get to school and then you have to hang their coats up on the right peg, you have to take their snack out and put it in the box. There's like a snack box with like,
what's the snacks these
they
days
have
the snack
to have their
box.
Names on it, because everything gets stolen at school. You have to have their name like engraved into everything you send them to school.
Even
with.
The snacks.
Oh,
you have to like brand.
Yeah, the snack box, literally, you have to get like these stickers that are unpeelable off once they're put on.
Oh my God.
With their name like laser printed onto it, so there's no smudging and stuff. Because otherwise, you just lose all your shit. And it's like expensive to constantly replace Tupperware and stuff. So this happens, okay? I do this,
and then I get home. Sorry. Okay, we'll come back to snacks.
All right. So
I just want to know what kids eat these days.
Beef jerky.
It's all healthy. You're not allowed to give them anything unhealthy anymore, okay?
Beef jerky.
When I used to go to school, we had a Pepsi machine in the school.
Yeah,
and you could
real.
Just
when
buy
you were four.
A Pepsi. Well, not when I was four. But even older school, at school now, you're not allowed to bring, like, soda. You're not allowed to bring chocolate to school or anything like that.
God forbid, anything with peanuts. Forget about it.
Yeah, like allergies and stuff are a big thing now.
There's a kid in year 8 who's allergic to peanuts, so this school is now peanut-free. It's pretty incredible. That's the case in my daughter's school
Lewis
right now.
Lewis is just thinking like, shit, why didn't they have that when I was a kid?
Man, I was on a knife edge every day of the week, he flexed.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't almost falling into the road or accidentally eating someone else's peanut butter sandwich, oh my God.
It was you being chased down
I can't imagine being allergic to peanuts and never enjoying the delight that is peanut butter.
Oh, like my God. Can you imagine that life?
We'll talk about peanut butter later because
let him finish his friggin' story.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then I get home. Okay. After all this is done, I get home and then I have to look after the baby for about an hour. Okay. While my wife gets ready and stuff. She takes the baby to like these, you know, play groups and to visit other mums and babies and stuff like that.
And she takes a full hour to get ready. My wife is the same. She gets up at 6:30 in the morning to get ready to leave at 7:30. She takes a full hour.
Women just take a long time to get ready. Like, it doesn't matter what you say or do, they just take forever.
It's a strange proportion, right? The more attractive a woman is, the longer it takes for her to get ready.
I know, but it's not like they're actually doing anything specific to beautify themselves. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like my wife isn't like plastering herself in makeup or anything like that.
Yeah,
I think she sort of like has a wash and stuff and then I think she just tries on clothes for
that's quite
50
a big
minutes,
bit of it,
basically.
I like how you're speculating on this.
Well, I don't know, because it's all happening upstairs. No, I'm just assuming that this is happening. Because, like, how long, realistically, does it take to clean yourself? Not that long.
Someone should have done a study on this.
Yeah. Anyway, like, so this
Someone should
this
have
happens.
Figured out what women are doing up there all that time.
Yeah.
And no one ever has. No man has ever investigated into this.
We've never looked into it.
So I look after the baby while this is happening, and it's cool. I play with her a bit and stuff. And it just so happens around this time, Everybody Loves Raymond is ending, okay, the double bill. And then the double bill of Frasier starts, okay?
Yeah, so it starts.
And this is a great time of the day
when the
double bill of Frasier starts. So yesterday, it was amazing, okay? The first episode of Frasier was the last ever episode of Frasier. And it was one of those ones where it was like, you know, they did the, instead of showing the actual footage from like back in 1991 when the show started, they gummed it up a bit to make it fit more with the story, like as it turned out. So like they put them in costume and stuff to make it look like it was from the early days, but it wasn't really from the early days. It was really clever and stuff, and it was good. And then, you know, the episode ends. Everybody's like, Niles and Daphne had a baby. Marty gets married to Ronnie. And the baby's delivered at that vet by the guy who has sex with a pie, an American pie.
Yeah.
And then Frasier gets this like amazing job and goes to San Francisco. And he's sitting on a plane talking to a woman and recounting all the events leading up to him doing this. And that was the last episode. So it ends, right? And then it's meant to be a double bill with Frasier. So I was like, oh shit, maybe there's not gonna be a double bill today. And then fucking Channel 4 swoop in, they show the first ever fucking episode of Frasier. When his dad is moving into the apartment and they're having, so like now they're just showing the first series, double bills every day. And I'm like, I'm fucking done.
I don't know what it is about that show, I'm fully erect all the time. But
you caught it on a cycle. Yeah.
I watched the whole thing, just like you do. And every morning it was like a certain time of day. And then once I finished, I'd take the baby to playgroup. That's what I'd do.
Yeah.
So it was like, we take the eldest to school, come back, same shit, double bill of Frasier, Channel 4 in the morning, and then boom, on with my day. But that was it. We watched that. Both my kids have watched the entirety, the entire run of Frasier at different points.
It's so fucking good. So, and the one that was on today was the one where they're planning to take the dad to like this really fancy restaurant. They get a reservation off the back of Frasier's like street cred and stuff. But then the reservation's canceled. So the dad's like, "Well, let's go to the fucking windmill or whatever," which is like this shitty steakhouse. And Niles is like super particular about what kind of steak he wants to have, and they're all fucking snobby and stuff. It's the fucking best show, bar none.
Yeah,
it is amazing.
It's great.
I'd almost say like it's not as funny as Seinfeld. It's different, but it's so fucking well written. It's crazy.
It's brilliant. I honestly think it that is it, really it, good. It should be up there with Seinfeld because the characters are so good. And the interplay between the two brothers and their father is just perfect. The only thing I liked is that when they changed Daphne from just being like this oddball psychic to actually being a character, I felt like she was a really tacked on character in the early series. It was just kind of a bit silly. And then I think subsequently they made her a proper character and she was really good. But it took a little while for them to find her.
I know what you mean about being tacked on because I think the character that's meant to provide that, like, you know, Fraser and Niles are super fucking high class snobs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the character that's meant to bring them down a peg or two is the dad, right?
Yeah.
The dad is just like this blue collar fucking guy that's been shot in the hip and, you know, just likes to drink beer and eat like, you know, fucking
has to have his special chair and all the rest of it.
Yeah. But then, Daphne just kind of comes in and she fills that role as well sometimes because she's like kind of fucking behind the times and whatever. But I don't know.
I kind of feel like she's just the character that they have to occasionally deliver a little punchline or to end a scene with some weird comment that you can't really continue from, like when she talks about her psychic stuff. And she's also kind of the butt of a lot of jokes in the early series where they're sort of rolling their eyes about what a nut she is. But she's also there purely to be like what was one of the funniest parts of the show was Niles' interest in her, which is so brilliantly done.
Fucking, it starts so early. I don't remember it starting so early, but he's like obsessed with her like from the get-go. You know, like all of these early episodes, he's like, oh, I brought Dad some Devonshire clotted cream. And then Fraser's like, oh, for Dad, right? And he's like totally perving on Daphne. Like she bends over and he's like blushing and stuff.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious, man. It's so good. Such a good show.
One of the things I like about it is that at times it feels more like a sort of British farce than an American sitcom. Like there's a lot of elements of farce to it where there are some episodes where there are literally people hiding in closets and like running from one room to the next just in time as so-and-so enters. And
we can't let
Lady Davenport see me like this. And it is really like that. And I think that's funny because they kind of modernized it, but it is kind of farcical. I like that show.
So if you haven't watched all of Frasier, even right up to the end, it's fucking good, man. It's really good.
One of my mates hates that show.
Really?
Absolutely hates it. Like it's one of the things that he hates more than anything else is Frasier.
Did you guys gang up on him and wedgie him?
Filth. He said that really? Is filth. Yeah. He just despises it. And I'm like, how can you hate Frasier? He just doesn't get it. It's a shame. But bear in mind that this is my mate. He's a lovely guy. But to get ready for work every day, he watches the last 10 minutes of Rocky. Like, just the last 10 minutes.
What, to, like, pump himself
just
up?
Just to pump himself
Fuck,
up.
Fuck, I thought you were going to say he watches Hollyoaks. Like,
just the last 10 minutes of Rocky.
I missed it last night. I'm going to watch it before work.
So, sorry, before work, what does he do as a job? Why does he need to be psyched up so much?
I think he works in financial services.
He's a meat tenderizer.
He's a boxer.
Manual.
He's a boxer.
Boxes the meat.
No, he works in like financial services or insurances or some shit like that.
Jesus Christ. He gets, well, I could understand if he worked on like in the stock exchange or something, you know, yelling and fighting and stuff, but
he doesn't need to G himself up, but he does.
Okay. It's like a ritual. It's good to have these sort of routines in your life, you know.
Are you sure? Yeah.
I don't know about watching Rocky. I don't know if that's a routine I need in my life. Like,
I've got
a lot of things to get pumped up for as well, but that's overkill. That's too much. Like,
one of the things you should do is cultivate good habits, like good routines, good things that are good every morning, kind of thing. You know,
do you think masturbation is something that you could get into a good routine with?
That was on the tip of my tongue. Is that okay as a daily habit? Is that acceptable?
Tip of your dangus. Yeah. I don't know. Cause some days like definitely warrant it, but like in a routine, I don't know if you'd want to be doing it like. I think maybe you might have like a bit of a problem if you're routinely doing it 4 or 5 times a day. Yeah.
4 or 5 too many?
Well, for a married man.
I feel like once a day is fine.
Yeah, once a day is fine. Any more than that and, geez, you're going to wear it out.
Yeah.
I think that's possible.
I think you could, yeah.
It's fine, you know, if...
What's fine?
It's fine. Yeah.
Oh God, just the whole
P-Flex just sitting at home all day.
Hey, I'm the only man in this house. There's no one around, no kids, so no wife.
What a feeling. What a
watch
feeling.
A bit of Frasier.
What's some Frasier?
Watch the last 10 minutes of Rocky to G yourself that, up for a big old
that, you get
session.
That little tingly feeling where you're like, hang on a sec, I'm alone in this house.
Yeah.
And then you lock all the doors and just strip down naked and watch Hollyoaks.
I don't lock anything. I might pull the curtains, I guess. That would be about it.
Yeah.
Do you have a
window cleaner?
In the old days, you'd take the phone off the hook, but nowadays, you've got to... I mean, you know, that's the thing. In the olden days, if you didn't want to be interrupted, you just lifted up the phone and left it off. That's it.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you've got so many different ways of being contacted. I don't know how people find time for privacy at all anymore.
No.
Does this podcast overlap with any of your banking routines, PFLAX? Have you got the phone off the hook right now?
That could be our analogy for having a wank. He's, you know, got the phone off the hook.
I can't get through to him. What's he doing in there? Oh, my God. Well, I mean, it is a thing that happens, whether people like to admit it or not.
Oh, geez.
Whether it's in a routine or, like, I don't think I'd ever be in a routine with it. I think I would just be the kind of guy who's like, you know what? The feeling, it's taken me. I'm ready to go.
You need to be inspired, like a great writer or an artist. You're telling me you need inspiration.
Yeah,
I'm not feeling it today. I'm just not inspired.
I'm not in the wanker's block today.
I don't think
wanker's block. I can't think of anything sexy. Everything I'm thinking about is so logical. It's not doing it for me at all.
I've been having trouble sleeping lately. I don't know if you guys get this sometimes. If you've been playing a lot of video games, especially ones that are quite detailed and involve a lot of focus, is that's all your brain thinks about when you go to sleep. Like, I used to get this with Tetris. I'd go to sleep and I'd see the little Tetris shapes, which is quite a common thing, apparently. So what happens is I go to sleep and all I can see is tiny little troops on a battlefield or Counter-Strike stuff. It's kind of awkward.
It's a common thing. So dreaming is the brain's sort of way
of
showing.
This isn't dreaming. I'm wide awake. I've got my eyes closed and all I can see in front of my eyes is Counter-Strike or Dota.
Yeah, your brain is just like in overdrive. You know why? They say that you should have an hour between playing video games and going to sleep where you just read or, you know, like even watching TV is not the best, but like reading a book or something.
Reading's good.
Something that doesn't involve
so
like a screen with light,
with
bright lights like behind it, like backlit or whatever, because... Your brain needs like some time to unwind a bit before.
That's
you
a good
sleep.
Routine to get into, actually. Sips, you're talking there. It's a very healthy one to get into the routine of you know, going to bed sort of half an hour early and just doing a bit of reading.
Yeah,
it's very good for you.
Or something.
It's very good for your imagination and your brain health.
Did you know? Yeah. Did you know they used to
Playboy
sleep?
Have really good articles too? Like, you can read them. They're not the disgusting ones where it's like, I took his rock hard red jackhammer and placed it delicately. It's nothing like that. It's like you know, they're really good. Like,
really,
you know,
slamming stuff
about issues and sports.
Did
and
you,
stuff.
Did you guys know people used to sleep twice in the evening? They'd have first sleep where they'd go to sleep, because if you think about it, it was dark. Like, this is. It gets dark around, you know, 6 or 7 or whatever, and you've got candles instead of artificial light. There's not much you can do in the dark. So people will go to sleep quite early. Then they'd wake up in the middle of the night. Maybe they'd pray, have a little snack. Maybe they'd have sex. And then they go back to sleep for second sleep and wake up.
What about siestas, though? That's still like a done thing, isn't it? In like hot countries.
That's different,
they
though,
go
isn't
inside
it?
And close all the blinds, cool down the room, and just have a sleep because it's too hot to be outside.
It's way too hot to be outside in those countries. Yeah. In the middle of the day. I mean, nobody does anything. Like, no, all the locals, no one goes out. They just fucking stay
all the stores
indoors.
Close and stuff.
Yeah.
I wish we did that over here. Like, any excuse, really, just to have, like, a little cheeky nap sort of thing. But, like, I think if people could get together and get behind that idea, we'd have to call it something different because siesta is clearly, like, you know.
What do you want to call it?
I don't know. Sleepy time?
Something familiar, yeah. I mean, the kids are doing it anyway, right? Do kids still do that at school? Like,
no,
they
don't.
Have a nap?
You know, it's they crazy. Don't. They don't. No, like, my son's not even 5 yet, and he's already learning to read and shit, and like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
It's full on. They do it's, have a, they at don't. My daughter's school a quiet area, and if you are really tired, you can go and have a sleep. And she sometimes does.
But they have
she
this,
never does that at home, but only at school.
They have a whole system now for like abuse monitoring. So like, if a child does something that's like a little bit sort of not even completely out of the ordinary. They just have like a list of signs to look out for.
Wow.
To,
okay.
Like, almost like open an investigation into a child being in a home that's not adequate or abuse or whatever.
There are lots of telltales, like being tired all the time.
Yeah, so some of this stuff that's like the quiet space, you know, like if every day your kid is going to the quiet space, that would be a big trigger for them.
Wow.
They'd be like, why is this kid fucking tired all the time? What's going on at home? Well, let's do an investigation. And then fucking they get the FBI involved and stuff. And like, holy
drones.
Shit.
Drones. Yeah. That's the future of
the drones.
Parent
drones
monitoring
start turning
is just
up.
Drones.
Yeah, pretty much.
Your son has been quoting lines from Frasier every day. he keeps talking about these people that he knows called Daphne and Roz. He says they're better than his real mom. And we're a bit worried about that.
Why? What's with the Mr. Hankey voice?
It's the principal.
Mr. Hankey. Yeah. God damn.
Yeah, schools are much different to what they used to be, Lewis. They don't have a sleepy time anymore. It's all like full on learning and like homework. Like my son, he's four. He gets fucking homework, man. Like it's crazy. He has this book that he has to read, okay? And it's like, Pam has a pot. Like that's one page, okay? Mm-hmm. And then the next page is, Tom has a pot.
Yep.
And then to throw it in so that they're not cheating and just like assuming that all they need to read is the person's name, it'll be like, Bob has a mop. You know, like it's just like, it's like a little curveball.
Yeah.
It's clever. Yeah. It's really clever. But like they got to stay on their toes. And you think, you know what? If I was four and I was doing all that shit, hell yeah, I'd be ready for sleepy time all the time.
Yeah,
like that is going to tax you hard.
Oh my God. I'd love it if they got in one more after their homework and it's like, okay, children, today we're going to test you on your homework. So, question one. Who has a mop? Copy him, Charlie.
Is it Tom or is it Bob? They all have to have three letter names because those are easy. Because like the way they learn now too is they like a lot of it is they recognize patterns. So like they'll see the word the a lot and then they'll just know it, you know, without
they
needing to.
They call them sight words.
Yeah. But now like they do a lot of phonetic stuff too.
Yeah,
so like for Bob, they'd have to sort of sound it out to spell it. So it'd be like Bob. You know, like it almost sounds like you're saying it sort of thing. So it's
They choose to do that are very like a lot has gone into this shit. Like it's not just they haven't just come up with it. I remember the books when I was a kid were fucking awful. But now it's like, it's really clever because the words that they choose for people are ones that, like Biff is one of them and Chip is another one. So they're very, if you can sound out the letters and get those sounds down, it all flows from there. But there's a dog called Floppy, which is kind of weird.
God.
And
nice. It's
just, a few things. Biff and Chip and Floppy. I mean, who the hell has these names? Nobody.
Yeah. Floppy is like kind of a tough one. I think Biff is probably the easiest. Chip is hard because it's the ch.
Yeah.
They're not like, you know, on top of the ch yet.
They're not into the compound phonetic
so they'll
sounds.
When they spell out chip, they'll be like k, h, ip. So it doesn't sound like chip at all. You know what I mean?
K-hip.
So like k-hip. But like Floppy would be a pretty tough one too because longer.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's weird, man. It's just the way that it is now. They're coming up in this generation of iPads and the internet and social media and stuff like that, and that their whole experience of childhood and everything is going to be like vastly different to ours.
Yeah,
so different. It does beg the question, like, what these kids are. You know, we've spent a lot of time planning this. Okay, probably there's a whole like detailed line of thinking behind Biff, Chip, and Floppy.
Oh, yeah.
Floppy.
Loads of scientists, loads of nerds
all
in
right,
the room
guys,
sat around.
We got to think up a real humdinger this time.
We
who's got
to
some
cover
ideas?
All the phonetic vowels.
What
how
about
do we cover
Floppy?
Them? Great idea,
Floppy's
Chip.
Good. Put it on the big board. Floppy's
put
in.
It on the board.
We're going to go with Floppy. Anyone got a problem with Floppy? No?
Going once, going twice.
Floppy
sold.
It is.
Floppy
now, which
it
character is going to be called Floppy? I was thinking the mother could be called Floppy. No, that's terrible. Let's go with the dog.
You fucking idiot. That's not a mother's name.
That's an insult.
Oh, God. Oh. So, poor old Floppy getting the short end of the stick.
Mrs. But Floppy. No,
so these kids, right, these the next generation that grow up with all of these benefits, like, you know, Wikipedia, they can just look anything up anytime they want. They don't have, like, you know, do you think they're going to be like the next tier of super smart?
No, and I'll tell you why.
No, they're going to be dumb as hell. They're going to be emotionally crippled as well through all this.
I think they're going to be very fragile emotionally, and I think they're also going to be used to things being easy. And I think
what do you mean by that? I mean, so what do you mean by those two things?
I mean, first of all, I think that because of the nature of the internet, if you think a thing, you don't have to doubt that you're right anymore, because you'll find a community of people out there that agree with you wholeheartedly and tell you how right you are and how wrong everybody else is and how, yes, this is the truth and this is the way things are. And it's affirming, and it affirms things that are actually often very negative and very wrong. And I think that that's the biggest problem with the internet is that it's given previously disparate groups of people who shouldn't get together the ability to get together and say, fuck yeah, there's loads of us and we're right. And they build a community around these stupid ideas, regardless of what they are.
So are you talking about sort of philosophical, religious, ethical kind of things as opposed to
the
facts?
Everything.
It's
not fact-based anymore.
So what you reckon
anymore.
Do you reckon that kids don't believe in evolution and climate change and all these other things?
It's
very
easy for them to get fooled by things that are presented as facts. Because, look at Donald Trump. I don't want to talk about politics, but he did talk recently about how a lot of this stuff that he found out about Hillary, he got it from the internet. And Bill O'Reilly was on Fox News saying, did you fact check it? He was like, what do I know about facts? It's on the internet. And he was like, you've got to check that. Like, this is Bill O'Reilly telling someone
to have a fact. Donald Trump is a 71-year-old man.
Calling into question somebody's morals.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly is saying, you've got to check that. And I'm like, Bill O'Reilly is calling someone
out. Yeah, but if my gran said to me, I found it, I saw it on the internet, I'd be like, okay, gran, I get it, you know.
But I think we represent this middle ground of people who remember pre-internet and have always treated the internet with a healthy amount of suspicion.
I don't know, you know. I think that the next generation will be like, I don't know, I don't think they will be emotionally crippled. I think it'll be the opposite.
Crippled.
I think that they'll be
fragile.
Emotionally. I think they'll be emotionally immune. I think when you grow up in this nation where, you know, internet trolls look at Twitch chat, you know, cappers, and look at Barry, you know, look at people, look at the younger generation of people who are they don't give a shit about. They couldn't care less. They're not fragile. I don't think they're. I think they're the opposite of fragile.
No,
I think they're more resistant to what we are.
They have an idea of how things should be and are, and they've had that reflected back to them so many times that if they run into problems or disagreements, it's no longer we can agree to disagree or a debate. It's just vicious. Everybody hates each other. And it's just this separating out into these groups. Previously, we were just kind of this large disparate group of people or dissipated kind of collection of opinions. Everybody could agree to get along more or less. And there wasn't quite the same anger that everybody's got. So they're fragile in the sense that the moment their view is challenged, this is huge. You know, we're losing. It's like it's always become some kind of contest about
which opinion always been the same.
Is going to be the right one.
Everyone's always been the same. You know, the government puts... It has. We all have our echo chambered beliefs on what we completely believe in and completely don't believe in.
Right, but
you know,
how were they echoed before? What was the echo chamber previously?
It's either things like the church, you know, if you know how religious people are, and this is a thing that we should totally avoid talking about because it's impossible to get around. But I think what we're going to have is, do you think, PFACs, we're going to have like loads of wars and like battles between people of different like kind of belief systems?
No, because the other thing is people are so fucking lazy.
Do you know
days.
What's really interesting about all this, though? Like wars and religion stuff aside, you know, I don't think now with technology the way it is and society the way it is and how far we've come, in a couple of years or maybe even now, quite possibly, you're never going to have your house egged ever again because people don't go outside anymore. Yeah. So like the new house egging is going to be getting trolled online.
Yeah, that's it.
Try that one.
Halloween will be done online, all online. Please PayPal me a bunch of sweets.
Just deliver me a gigantic bag of candy because I went
on
all these websites and
it'll
watched
be
a bunch of ads for free. Yeah,
because digital candy is a lot healthier.
Yeah. Because even Christmas is getting lazy now. Like, I was talking to this woman the other day, and she's a bit older. She's like, you know, 65 or something. And I was like, man, it's crazy how soon Christmas comes along. Eh? It's going to be in like a month or whatever. She has like grandkids and stuff. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm never ready for it. But what I do now is I just go on Amazon and I order the stuff and they wrap it all for them and everything and they deliver it and it's done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, cool. Yeah, nice. Merry Christmas.
I mean, you can't fault that. Like,
no, you know, can't, but it's changing.
Do you think everyone's getting lazy? Or, man, that's an interesting way to look at it.
You know what?
It.
It's so bad, though. Even now, it's like, oh, so like, did your kids, you know, ask for things from Santa? It's like, no, they just have a list. There's a Facebook widget. They can put together what they want with links to Amazon. So all I did was went on there and I followed the links and just bought everything they wanted. All right.
Cool. Yeah, it's crazy. But that's the thing, because everything's
so fucking
easy.
Lazy. Yeah.
But it's also like, easy. Who's going to do hard work?
You don't even need to know these people that you're buying shit for anymore. Yeah. You know, like back in the day, it was like, okay, I know that fucking Bobby really likes Marvel superheroes, so maybe I can go out and get him like a signed comic or something like that. You actually had to put a little bit of thought into what you were getting because you would also be faced with these people as well, right? A lot of this like Amazon gift buying shit is happening overseas. Like, I won't see you on Christmas. I don't give a fuck. Like, Amazon could just wrap your shit, give you exactly what you want, fucking checkbox, check, done.
And I bring on next Christmas card to you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's crazy lazy now. It's nuts.
When I see a card with that little moon pig logo on, I think less of the person who sent it instantly.
Same here. E-cards can fuck off as well. If you're sending me an e-card, you're dead to me. Like, I don't want a fucking email card.
Shove
from you.
Your e-card up your E-ass. I don't fucking want your e-card. I'm going to send you... There should be a counter Moonpig website so that if you get a Moonpig card, you can send them a card that just fuck your lazy Moonpig shit. That's all the card says.
Yeah.
That's it. And it doesn't get delivered.
Moonpig sends physical cards, right? Not
they do,
e-cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just printed.
They're
it's a printed
though.
Inscription.
They're customized as well. So like you can put somebody's name in print and stuff. I don't like that. Like I like cards that were...
I see
what
you're saying.
Not customized. You know, you knew that somebody had to seek out this card and find a really good card. It's like perfectly printed with like...
I 100% agree. Like, I've got a load of letters from my dad that he sent me when I was, you know, away from... Like, when I went off to university and we kind of communicated via letter because that was just something that... Because I was living in a place that didn't have internet access for a while, and then another time I was doing some other stuff. Anyway, and... I've still got those, and they're actually really amazingly nice things to have in a weird way. And if they were emails, I would have printed them out. I mean, I would have done what? Like,
you would have archived them and never looked at them again. But you've got this physical thing that somebody sat down. The only thing with letters sometimes you have to be careful of is that they're like a therapy tool, right? Sometimes people will like pour out in a letter and it's like, okay, just send me a letter. Tell me how the fucking dog is and stuff, and that's it. Like, I don't...
Here's the thing about writing a letter.
I don't want to hear about this, your big girth and...
People, when you write a letter, you can't just delete, like, backspace it out, and you can't adjust it and edit it as you go to be this thing that's filtered through your mind. You have to kind of sit there and think, what do I want to say? How am I going to say this in one go? And then you do it, and it's strangely, I guess in a way, it doesn't always encompass exactly what you wanted to say, but it is certainly a more natural stream of consciousness. I don't know.
They always seem super dramatic too.
It's got a voice.
Like, letters always seem really dramatic because you can start them anyway, right? You can be like, "Son, comma, I miss you dearly. Me and your mother, son. I have something to say to you. I would normally never have told you this, but son, I've never loved your mother." The woman is a bitch.
I thought you were going to say, I have a small dick.
And that's where the letter gets awkward, right? Because all of a sudden it's like...
I've fallen in love with Tony.
He's the janitor at my office.
Please see enclosed photo of Tony.
This is me and janitor Tony kissing.
But letters are like that though sometimes, right? Because they are dramatic. And it's like... People have to go out of their way to sit down and think about things to write and stuff. And that's when the emotional outpouring comes. Yeah. And sometimes you have to be very careful of opening a letter.
Do you know what I found a couple of years ago? at Mrs. F's, like, her house, like her parents' house, was a bunch of the letters that we had sent between each other when we were about 18 or 19. So this was, like, really early in our relationship, sort of love letters, I guess. But also, because when we were at university together, we were at the same university for the first 2 years. Like, we both left Dorset and both went to the same university, you know, as a couple. We lived together for the first 2 years, and then I had to go to London to do my industrial placement year, and she stayed on and finished her third year, and then I had to go back and do my fourth year, and she started work. So we were apart for like 2 years, and we would see each other in all the holidays and stuff like that. But this was obviously pre-internet, so there was no Skype, there was no, there was, we never
you couldn't
email.
Like text each other throughout the day and
I didn't have a mobile phone until 2000, I think, maybe late 99, early 2000. And messages on them were fucking awful. Like, you had to send.
There was no culture for texting like that either. No. You just didn't do it back
then.
And
typing them, there was no keyboard. So you had to press the 1-3 times to get an A.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, people got really fast at that though. Like,
God, didn't
I remember
they?
My wife had a phone like that, and I'd look over, I'd hear like tap, 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 tap. Like, what the fuck? I'd look over and she'd just be like, bleh, like just like bashing out this text message.
It's like when people hold their phone. Like it's with both their thumbs. They're typing with two thumbs, like that on their. I can't do that shit. I'm like one hand, and I'm like very deliberately tapping the letters.
One big sausage finger as well anymore because it's a fucking lost skill. Like it's completely pointless now.
Yeah,
that the skill of being able to touch three times to get to a
but like
P or
take
whatever.
A smartphone and you know when you see people typing on the keyboard and I see them holding it so that. Their two thumbs are so they're like it's like a left hand and a right hand.
My thumbs are too big.
You were talking about when you had to have a phone with the which only had a number pad, but it had like ABC
I mean that was one thing, but now like
two.
I do see people texting.
That is a lost art.
Yeah, that is a lost art. You're right. I don't even know if it was an art to begin with.
It wasn't
to be honest,
an art.
Though.
Let's be
it
honest.
It was like those carnies, you know,
sure,
when they you know, like they work the ride so often, the spinning teacups, they can like dance in between them and it looks like they're about to kill themselves, but they're never going to because that's all they
ballet.
Do all day.
The carny ballet.
But that's not an art though, is it? Like that's just sad.
I think it's a nice thing. Look, it doesn't just it doesn't have to be hanging in a gallery for it to be art.
It doesn't need to be dancing in between teacups at breakneck speeds either to be art.
No. I think because of what it represents, which is this person has seen the teacup ride so many thousands of times.
This person literally has nothing else in their life that this is all they're good at.
Their brain is hardwired to dodge teacups at high speed and move with apparent grace, but it's actually quite a sad story about how they got there, I think. That's what makes it.
Unhealthily sweaty. Either in the process and just generally looking like some sort of degenerate.
So were you all going to have bursts into tears when you start telling us about these love letters? Have you got any excerpts that are PG or are they all like full James Joyce, like, you know?
Look, I could go get them and let me see it.
I can't wait to ram you. Hey, babe.
Oh,
how about we try fisting next
time?
I
bet you your
let's,
ones
let's
are all
fist
about...
fist over Christmas.
No, I bet you...
Let's rename it. Happy Fistmas. Let's have a happy
Fistmas. Oh my God.
Let me go get them because I know where they are and I'll see if I can find one that's appropriate. I'll be back.
Merry Fistmas, baby.
I think they're all going to be, all of PFLAX's ones are going to be, you know, just like about football. Like, yeah, love, I went to see the football. It was Timmy Mason was up front. He scored a hat trick. Oh, it was beautiful, love. If only you'd be there to see it with me. of course, we played our young Greenham in defence. Oh, he weren't very good. Didn't think much of that. You know, because I think that's kind of people...
They love that in football, eh? When it's a young lad, he's just starting, he's 16 years old. Oh.
Full of potential.
Got his first goal. Oh, God, the whole crowd was so proud of him. But his dad wanted him to become a bean counter, but... you know, football, he was just
true
so good
calling.
At it.
Yeah, the feet, the grass calls to him. He was born to put on those boots and.
Man, sports are dramatic too, aren't they?
Drive
They're
the
always
studs.
Like that. Yeah. Like, especially in England, I find that they make sports seem so dramatic. Like, in North America, they're dramatic enough. But there's always just like a, like the story is always somebody's really good at sports. They get a scholarship. They go to a good college or university to learn something that they'll never do anything with because they're so fucking good at sports. And then they enter into like the major leagues or whatever, and they dominate for a couple of years, and they get older and they retire. And then you see them on TV all the time, like Charles Barkley doing like Old Spice commercials and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not like super dramatic, but like, I don't know. I find in England with like football and stuff, it's like the pitch was calling to him and stuff. And it's like, fuck off. Like, this guy's going to fucking play football for like 3 years, and then he's going to get really shitty arthritis in his knees or whatever. And he's going to retire as like a multimillionaire. And that's it. Like the pitch calling. Go fucking somewhere with that. Nobody cares about that.
I don't know. I think a lot of them are like, a lot of the footballers are just not, you're talking about the ones who are at the right at the top, you know, but yeah, a lot of them are just kind of just, you know, they're only able to do it for a couple of years. And sometimes they play for Leyton Orient, you know, midfielder for a while, you know,
they make a bit of money, but then they have to
get a real
too.
Job after that. You know, not everyone's going to be Gary Lineker and have a BBC presented job.
That's
man,
true.
I wonder what PFLEX is doing. I think, do you know what's happened? I think he's got out of his
he's writing room. Them manually now. I can't find them. No. I'm going to be so embarrassed. Oh, shit. I'm going to have to retrospectively write a love letter to my...
None of these are about fisting at all.
Oh, shit. When would we have sent these? Was it like late 90s? Oh, shit. What was happening in the
maybe
late 90s?
Maybe he's just like looking at them thinking, oh, my God, these are so embarrassing. No, but I think what's happened is he's gone out of his room.
No.
And because this is what happens. Oh, shit, you're back. He's back. You got out of your room and there's someone's accosted you immediately, right, in the hallway. It's like there's a kid there. It's like, oh, have you finished recording? Can we play this now? I swear that's what happened, right?
No, that's
someone
not,
else.
No,
in
it's
there.
Home Alone, man. Here, yeah.
Oh, this is normally dads.
Oh, these are completely inappropriate.
This is normally time for you to draw the curtains. And,
yeah. Give me 10 minutes, lads.
I just need to draw the curtains, yeah.
I think these might be too personal to read, honestly.
Well, I was going to say, I wouldn't want to read mine. I have a couple. We have some of those, too.
I wouldn't want to read them. You don't have to, PFLEX. I'm not expecting you to. I was just sort of... Because it does give us a snapshot of 90s life. I guess the thing I said to Sips was...
90s life.
Is it something where, because they were kind of... They weren't special back then. That was just normal, okay? Yeah. It was just the way you communicated. So you just shared mundanities. You just talked about what was going on and the weather and just the stuff like the kind of small talk. It wasn't... You weren't imparting some great... You know, wonderful.
No.
You weren't writing poetry, and you weren't writing, you know, anything that was groundbreaking or some sort of secret, you know. But nowadays, we associate letters with kind of, you know, something that maybe your gran includes in a Christmas card, you know, to someone that she's not seen for a while, you know, an auntie or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything's going well over here, but someone who doesn't use the internet, you know.
No. Well, old people like from that era as well are petrified of like the phone too, right? Like my grandma, for example, she's like in her 90s. When I talk to her on the phone, long distance, she is just like stressed to fuck about it, thinking that she's going to get
Hello?
A big bill or whatever. So she's like, "Hello, hi grandma, how are you?" "Fine, dear, how are you?" "Yeah, I'm good." "Okay, goodbye." "Bye, grandma." That's it. That's it. Because she's like, back then, you know, you could go bankrupt with long distance bills. But nowadays, they're not bad. You know, we're so connected worldwide now. It's not a problem. But she's not hip with that. You know, she's not up to speed. She still thinks that. She's got to be careful with a long distance call, you know.
They are handling
this.
This is
a pretty
phone.
Good one, and this does kind of give you a snapshot of 90s life. I'll just read a couple of excerpts.
So, has it got a date on it, first of all?
This is 3rd of November, 1998. So, this is nearly 20 years old, this letter.
Yo, you actually dated and timestamped like your letters? That's cool.
Yeah, of course you got to write on them.
You got to know the date.
Of course you have.
I never did.
So, this is about 3 years after we met, this letter. So, I'm in my third year at university. And she is back in Dorset. I'm in my fourth year. I've started my final year, and she's back in Dorset, and she's living.
The internet is definitely a thing. I mean, I'm playing like, but it's not a very. You have to dial up to it. You know, it's like
I mean, we had it at university, but none of us had it in the house. Like, at the house in any of the 4 years I was at university. At no point did anybody have the internet in the house.
Right.
But it was still, it was brand new, and it seemed like it was going to be kind of exciting. But at the same time, I thought, this is never going to catch up.
I had a Nintendo, and I was playing, you know, Zelda and Banjo-Kazooie and stuff, I think, in about 1998. That's what I was doing.
Yeah, I think that's when the PS1 is out.
Nintendo 64 is out.
The N64 is out.
Actually, I think by 98, I think PS2 is out.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe, actually.
PlayStation 2.
We used to hire one from Blockbusters in 1995, 96, in that year when we were at university. And we would go to Blockbusters. You had to put down a £50 deposit, which was crazy money for a student.
Yeah.
And then we'd hire it over the weekend and we'd play games all weekend on the PS1.
Sorry, I lied. PS2 didn't come out until 2000, March 4th, 2000.
So this was still PS1, N64, and I guess Dreamcast maybe would have been
Dreamcast would have probably been... It wasn't really big in... UK.
No, it wasn't.
North
but
America,
I mean, I think it was out.
Yeah. It came out in Japan in 98, and then it came out in North America in 99.
Okay.
And
so just
in September 99, North America, and October 99 in Europe.
You know, I like the way we date our history based on what consoles were around at the time and what we were playing. 98, yeah, now that was Super Nintendo was on the wane. PS1, I believe.
Yeah. And Nintendo 64 was 96.
Yeah.
So I was 16 when it came out.
Wow. So I was
it does anchor you in time though, because you think, okay, yeah, this is what I was doing at that time. You know, I remember when I was about, you know, when I first went to school, you know, the school computer room was this weird place of like, it certainly didn't have any internet connectivity. The computers were massive and weird, and you had to log in on like kind of all the monitors were huge. It was that era of every monitor was huge, and it was a strange time. Anyway,
big monitors and bigger women.
So this is a snapshot of the last of the letters, really, because after this, it did become mobile phones were a big thing, and then people sent emails, and then that it just stopped.
Yeah.
So this is the last of the letter senders.
Yeah, but it's maybe
yeah,
the
this
last
is
letter ever.
This is
sent.
The last one that was hand delivered by Kevin Costner himself.
Yeah,
as the,
thrust as it the, into a young child's hand.
That's right.
So there's a little bit of kerfuffle before, and then she says, "At the moment, I'm sitting in your living room in Westbourne. This is where my mum lived, because I have an interview. I was supposed to walk the dogs with your mum, but she had obviously forgotten that I was coming, as she is out with the dogs now." Now, that wouldn't happen now, because you'd call them on their mobile and say, "Where are you?" "Oh, I just left them at the end of the road." So Mrs. F goes to my mum's house. My mum's just left with the dogs. That's it. There's no solution to this.
Hadn't she let herself in?
Yeah.
Luckily...
Was the door open?
Your sister before she left for work. So my sister was home. She bumped into her and she let her in. She says, my sister was having boyfriend troubles at the time. Anyway, I've had a cuddle with the cat and now I'm going to read my novel. Novell Network Manuals. So this was before her first job. So she graduated university in that. So before that summer. So now she'd moved back to Bournemouth. I'd spend the summer in Bournemouth with her. And now I've gone back to university and she's trying to get a job in Bournemouth as a postgrad. So this was her studying for her first ever job.
Novell Network Manuals,
yeah. Because then she went to work at a
Novell Networks.
Company. Yeah.
I remember that. Does that still exist? Are they like done?
I have no idea.
I can't remember what it was. Did they make a browser or something?
I can't remember. I mean, I think they did a lot of server stuff. So,
I think it's like
Cisco did the same stuff. Like, you don't have a Cisco PC in your house, probably. But if you work in a large server room, then you'll know like Cisco and all those, and Sun Microsystems and all these companies. So they're sort of the B2B end of computing.
It was a network operating system developed by Novell.
There you go.
It initially used cooperative multitasking to run various services on a personal computer using the IPX network protocol.
That's Wikipedia.
The original network product in 1983 supported clients running both CP/M and MS-DOS, ran over a proprietary star network topology, and was based on a Novell-built file server using the Motorola 68000 processor.
What a time to be alive it was.
Please.
What a time.
Holy crap. Shit.
And then she says, "I hope you've been making the most of the gym today. I wish I had access to a gym. And once I've got a job, I won't have the time either." What gym? Oh, I think gym. In the final year, my friends and I decided we were going to become massive. And we stuck. There was
that's
a jam.
Like that's a typical thing to do in school, isn't it? It's like, what are we going to do now?
Let's get huge.
Let's do drugs, or let's fucking drink a lot, or let's get huge.
I love this. Is from the both angles, right? So that what she this is her way of saying,
get to
man,
the
I'm,
fucking I, gym.
No, this is way of her saying, man, I'm thinking about your sexy beefcake body. Right? That's what she's saying.
Could be a sexy beefcake body.
She's about to draw the curtains and think about old Ted. But buff Ted, she's thinking about him popping iron at the gym.
I think they light candles and sit in the bath and think about it. Like a guy will draw the curtains and just start wailing away, but like women are different.
The moment has to be just right. I think they just fucking do it all the time, wouldn't you? There's no evidence. No one can really tell you're doing it.
In my current mindset, I would, but I don't know if I was actually like, if I was born a woman and I had the same sort of like
had boobs, I'd be playing with them all the time.
I say that now as a guy. Yeah, I would play with my own boobs all the time. But like if I'd always had them, maybe I wouldn't. You know what
I'm
saying?
I've always had a dick and I fucking won't leave it alone.
Yeah, I know. But like, yeah, I guess.
I'm touching myself right now, guys. Let me just draw the curtains.
Keep it in your pants for now.
The curtains aren't drawn,
so what's going to see you?
I'm not even in a sexy way. I'm just fiddling with my balls.
Yeah, that happens. That happens a lot.
I'm wearing track pants. It's so easy. I can't stop.
All right, gentlemen. So this letter, oh man, it's a nice snapshot. So you're obviously, I like how it reminds you of stuff that you thought you'd do at university as well. But it also, it's like, you know, two distant lovers. Man,
yeah,
it's
sweet.
It's nice. It's really sweet.
Yeah.
It's weird how it kind of paints a whole picture though, right?
Yeah.
That from that letter. You know, we've got this whole picture of where, because you have to say where you, it's weird, that's the thing that you did when you sent a letter. You said where you are, what you're doing right now. It's a snapshot. You don't really get that with emails, do you? People don't say, I'm sitting in my living room on my computer. You know, it's almost obvious. Whereas when you're writing a letter, sometimes you'd be doing it in the study, you might be doing it in the garden, you might be doing it anywhere, you know?
True.
People don't preface an email from their phone saying, I'm currently, you know, whatever, you know, wherever the fuck they are. Well, sometimes they do. I guess if they're writing an email
from the top of Everest, you can just do geolocation. That's right. Yeah. So you don't even need to tell people because most people are snooping on you anyway. Where was this text message sent from? No. From Bill's bedroom?
Oh, my God.
She said she was in town buying some carrots. What a bitch. It was a bitch.
There's also a letter from my mum. This isn't that old. This goes to show that my mum still sends letters, and she sent it on a tiny scrap of paper, barely A6 sized, and she's just included it with some photos. I don't know why she sent me physical hard copy photos. This is only about 8 years ago. And it says, hope you like the enclosed. I have no idea why there is Japanese writing on them. I must have pressed something on the camera. So there's these pictures of me and the babies and stuff, and there's in the corner just all this Korean writing. It's not Japanese, it's Korean. So she's just fucking pressed something. But it's so weird that there's this picture with this Japanese writing. And my mum must have dumped something with her phone. That's funny.
That's nice. Amazing. It must be the date format or something.
God.
That's crazy. I love it. Oh, that's such a classic. Because I guess that's a sort of Korean camera that she bought somewhere
and it's
or
some
got for Christmas
that says,
or whatever.
Please overlay Korean writing on
and
all
my like
pictures.
And it's like you sitting there with your bald head, like having in a nappy, like with your thumb in your mouth, playing with your dick.
No,
I don't
this
know.
Is from 8 years ago. I wasn't a baby 8 years ago. This is me holding a baby 8 years ago. My baby.
I just assumed that mums always sent pictures of stuff like that
to
people.
No, once you have babies, mums don't give a shit about your baby pictures. They want to see baby pictures of their grandchildren. Like, you've been relegated now. Grandchildren are all it is. That's it.
Right. I see. So something in their mind switches. It's like, okay, now this is the important person to bring up.
I was thinking, like my kids and Sips is in the same boat. Our kids fucking love us right now, right? They think we're the best. I am in a boat, right? We are both in the boat.
He's in a love boat.
Our kids love us.
But swan boat.
Think about this. How often do you run to your parents now and go, daddy, daddy, or mummy, mummy, oh, you're the best, and give them a massive hug compared to when you were a kid? You don't, because you're a grown-up. You're
literally
like,
literally never.
Hi, mum. Hi, daddy. All right. You know, it's completely different. So it's like having your heart broken when your kids grow up. Like, I really think it must be like that, where you stop having that affection and it's tragic. So when they have grandchildren, it completely reinvigorates it. The grandchildren love them just the way, and it reminds them, it takes them all the way back to when they had kids. So I kind of think it's a massive piece of nostalgia for grandparents.
I've got to go and hug my mum.
Do it.
Give her a kiss. Yeah.
Some people are closer to their parents than others. Like I'm not super close to my parents, but like my wife is really close to her parents. Like she like they're always like hugging and stuff and it's nice, actually. But, like, my parents live super far away. I barely ever see them and stuff.
I mean, you'd have to portage to get to them.
I'd have to portage a long-ass way just to give my mom a hug.
I would hug you, but I've been portaging for 2 weeks to get here.
My shoulders are killing me, Mom. Just leave me. I need some rest.
Did you get the letter we sent? We sent it on the portage postman.
We were a bit concerned that we... Dad sent the letter and actually thought maybe you shouldn't read it because he was being really derogatory towards me. We just had a fight and it was an emotional outpour in the letter. Did you read it?
He was calling me Floppy. That's his nickname for me, and it's really not a flattering one.
I don't know if he's referring to my breasts or the weird skin flaps underneath my arms, because I'm old.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
Anyway. Little Biff. Little Biff's doing well.
Your brothers Biff and Chip are doing well.
Your mom Floppy is, too. Biff and Chip. Oh, for fuck's sake. Hey, another thing I want to just add quickly before hopefully a bodega. You know, on the topic of things being easy and kids having it easy and stuff like that. And the expectation is now that things will just work, right? Like everything, you know, everything has been refined so much now that it's, you know, this thing still kind of break or whatever, but you don't have... It was rampant, right, in the 80s.
Yeah.
Nothing fucking worked, okay? You'd buy, like, a food processor or something. It wouldn't work. It would just sit there and gather dust. Like, nobody cared about it. Nobody would ever want to fucking figure out how to do it. It just looked cool, and you got it for somebody as a present or whatever, and it never fucking worked. You know, like, SodaStream never fucking worked. The ice cream factory that you got when you were a kid never worked. You know what I mean? Like, nothing fucking ever worked. Like, your expectations were so low of shit in the 80s and the 90s. Like, nobody cared.
Yeah.
But now, it's like, everything has to work. Everything is online all the time. No problems. There's a tech support guy you can phone 24/7, and he's gonna, you know, everything's gonna work for you. It's really weird, isn't it? Like, how things have changed in, like...
Yeah.
In like 20 years, I guess.
And it always like the shit auto patches. Like, you can send stuff, but you can get refunds of stuff way more easily online. You can just send it back, and it does seem a lot easier. In the past, shit was broken all the fucking time.
And it was accepted that it was just broken, and nobody really cared.
No one cared. Like, we lived in a broken world. It was a broken world. And everything was closed. Shit was closed all the fucking time. Nowadays, everything's open.
You'd turn up, you'd be like, I need to get something. You go to the store, it's closed down?
Yeah,
what?
It's closed.
When? Yeah, just gone.
That actually did happen a lot, yeah. Maybe that was just the ravages of time, though.
Maybe.
I was like, oh, it was 10 years since I visited this shop.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
holy shit. So do we have a bodega?
Bodega Part 8.
Oh, we do.
8. Yeah, we do.
I like that.
Yeah. Are you ready?
What's 9 for nientes?
Nino?
Part 9.
So translate from English.
Right.
Nueve.
There is a... Nueve. I just looked up bodega t-shirt. You actually have to type in bodega t-shirt. Yogscast.
Okay,
because otherwise you get loads of... Others, yeah, like this Bodega Bay place. Apparently, that's a big place.
Get
I don't know.
I love it. I'm very, very happy with it. And I'm not just.
Wait, where did the shirt plug come from?
It's Lewis, isn't it?
Oh, right. I feel like we need to.
I feel like we're not earning enough money.
Needs to get paid from this podcast somehow.
I guess.
I feel like I want the cheddar to roll in at an alarming rate. So.
And if
that's
you
want to
just send
it.
Us cash money, please do that. That's fine. Just send
hell
it
yeah, in an envelope,
bullion,
all crinkled up.
Bullion,
yeah. Fucking.
Me and Sips are fine, but
put your shopping list
got like. 5 kids and like your cousins and brothers and grands and everything, and you know, it's a mess.
I need help, folks.
Everyone's
begging for cash, you know. Have to stop writing letters to people because I can't afford the phone.
Oh, dear, yeah.
Your dear mum Floppy, she hasn't had heat for a year. You desperately need some money.
Turn that heat back on. They have nothing. Biff and Chip are starving. Chip has a mop. That's is it. All.
Now read it. It's a weird test tomorrow.
Okay. Bodega.
Let's go.
Part 8. When Bodega got really upset, there were three likely outcomes. Option 1, go blow up the nearest big thing. Could be a pirate base, could be a veterans hospital. Didn't matter. Something is getting vaporized. Generally speaking, he went after baddies, like a veterans hospital for soldiers that had become veterans by slaughtering innocent people. Imagine a retirement home for space Nazis. It's still a veterans hospital, and it's still full of the shuffling elderly, but come on, flav those guys. Option 2. Get blind drunk and crash his ship into something large. Then hop out, argue about quantum insurance with whichever moron confronted him, and then blow the whole place up. Option 3, sit on a rock. Bodega was sat on a rock. The universe breathed a collective sigh of relief. The rock sitting option was the one reserved for when Bodega wasn't just upset in a regular way, but in a really baffling how the flav did that happen way. For when he needed time to get his head around the problem. This rock was on a tiny planetoid called Mu, in the mostly uncharted BV-332 Delta system. Bodega liked this spot because the view was so insane it took his mind off his troubles. And it also had a really bizarre atmosphere that was alcoholic, around 6% proof. You could just sit here and breathe and get nicely loaded and check out the overhead vista of four galaxies colliding. The sky on the dark side of BV-332 Delta Mu was ablaze with billions of stars battling each other for supremacy and generally exploding or dragging each other's guts all over the darn sky. This was what gravity was designed to do. Pull things to shreds, take the beautiful and render it down to its component atoms. It took the free and the liberated and made them its slave. Bodega could feel the atoms of his own body and hoped that one day soon someone would spread them around the galaxy so he couldn't feel this pain anymore. It was his brain atoms that were currently giving him the most pain. He toyed with his las gun, running a finger over the muzzle brake at the end of the barrel. Would he even feel it? He tossed the las gun to one side. Life went on. Surely life went on. Even when your gal has partnered up with one of the largest anuses in the known universe. Tan flarving Blatchman. First of all, how the scriv had that mongol clogger not died at the Pulsar Sex Pit self-defense massacre? This was Blatchman we're talking about, and he is a canny bastard, but still, that place was leveled fairly convincingly. Bodega was glad Blatchman was alive. It meant he could kill him, and properly this time, by hand, one hand, and by the balls. Killing a man with one hand and applying lethal force via the balls only was something Bodega reserved for real, actual bastards like Blatchman. He called the technique the way of the exploding plums. It was taught only in the most prestigious dojos by the most adept grandmasters of hand-to-groin combat. He'd taken out a patent and everything. Every time someone used the Way of the Exploding Plums technique, he got a small royalty payment. It was a nice little earner. Just as he was flexing his right hand and grinning in anticipation of feeling Tan Blatchman's naked scrotum nestled in his palm, two things occurred to him. Firstly, that was the single most homoerotic thought Bodega had ever had. And secondly, that it might really upset Majesta if he were to do this. These were followed by a third quick follow-up thought, which was, flav that bitch. He couldn't bring himself to hurt her directly, but flav her and flav that mewling Blatchmanite she called a child. Hey mister, something wrong? Asked a small voice to his left. Bodega turned slowly to see a small pink creature shaped, and if this wasn't proof of a crazy god at the heart of all things, then nothing was like a dildo. It was a dildonian. A people shunned through necessity by
dildonian.
A people shunned through necessity by all vagina having life forms. The Dildonians were one of the few races denied any kind of place in the Universal Accord. No seat at a high table, no presence on any council. They were one of the forgotten peoples, and it had to be that way, for their own protection, for one thing. What kind of sex slaves would people turn them into? And what kind of conversation would any vagina-having species be able to carry on with a talking dildo?
Howdy, pard. Not seen one of you little fellers in a while, sighed Bodega.
Nothing new there. I spend most of my time hanging out around here in my tiny hermit cave. You know how it is, of course. Apparently, we really, really resemble something called a dildo to most people in the universe, rambled the creature. And stranger still, we even call ourselves Dildonians. Yep, probably one of them infinite universe things, said Bodega, rubbing his stubble. You thinking of trying the hermit business? Chirped the Dildonian. It ain't a fun one, but it's kind of satisfying to make it on your own.
I think on my own is something I'm gonna be for the foreseeable, said Bodega, squinting at the horizon. But I ain't the hermit kind. Too restless.
The small creature looked sheepish, or as sheepish as a 12-inch erect phallus can.
Fucking dildo.
Fucking amazing. It cleared its throat. Do you have a vagina? It asked.
No, friend. I'm one of them dick-havers, smiled Bodega.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to go back to my cave.
That's going to be my icebreaker.
Do you have a vagina?
Nice chatting to you. Good luck, said the Dildonian. Bodega touched the brim of his hat and nodded once. Scriv, things could be worse. He turned his head up once more to the cluster flav of stars in the slow death churn and took a good hard tug on his mega vape. He wasn't going to take revenge on Magister. He would kill Blatchman if the opportunity arose, but if he chased him down and killed him, it'd be no better than smashing galaxies together. All that would be left would be a colossal black hole. Bodega settled on something else. He decided right then that he was going to start a small business. The end.
Okay.
Nice.
Oh, man. That sounds legit, man. I can't wait to find out what that is. That cameo from that guy. Oh, my God. That was just amazing. Loved it.
Fucking
Dildonians.
Can we
get a Dildonian t-shirt, do you think? Probably not.
I think on the Dildonian t-shirt, it should be a picture of a Dildonian looking very happy and then with the speech bubble that says, do you have a vagina?
That should be the new thing rather than I have a small dick. It should be,
Do you have a vagina? It has to be a bit sheepish, though. You have to be, do you have a vagina?
Yeah, I like that. A lot. Okay, we're going to go. Thanks for listening to the Trifles Podcast this week, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Cheers, y'all. Bye.
Bye.